Hey, today I am excited to, and you know it's dangerous when a pastor says I'm excited, that means he's long-winded most of the time. But what it means is that I have just been chewing on this message all week because I think it's one of the things that is assumed. It's a word we use a lot, that word worship, but sometimes we never really get to the point to where we are adequately applying it. And not because we're insufficient and not because we're negligent. It's just sometimes we don't exactly know how to engage into worship. Most every one of you have been around it long enough. You know how to go to church. You know there's things that are going to happen in church. We know the fundamental things that will happen, singing, preaching, praying. But boy, really worshiping is something that sometimes it escapes us a little bit. When I was first saved, I barely knew what day it was. I'm trying to navigate my way through what it really meant to have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And worship was something that I didn't really understand. I know that I went to a worship service because I heard him call it a worship service. But I didn't really think of worship as something that I was supposed to really be applying to myself. It was more of a title over the service itself. So today we're going to talk about not a worship service, but a life of service. A life of service. Just like you've discovered in many areas of your life, God doesn't want you to just be a giver when we take up the offering. He wants you to be a giver. He wants you to be a generous person. God doesn't want you to just pray when it's time to pray and listen to somebody else pray. God wants you to be a prayer and have a life of prayer. And so it is with our worship as well. I want to take you to Genesis, the 22nd chapter here in just a second. It is a story of worship. Matter of fact, it's the first time we hear about worship, the word worship used in the Bible, in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, when Abraham took Isaac up to the Mount of Moriah to sacrifice his son. God told him to do this. But before we get there, I just want to remind you that a life of worship is something that we consider a core value of the church. It is one of the most important things we do as a church. That's why we call it a core value. And quite honestly, properly, it says we value a life of worship and not just a time of worship with songs or whatever, but that God goes far beyond that. Charles Stanley said this. He said, most Christians in most churches have never worshiped God. They go to church, but they don't worship. They sing songs, but they don't worship. They listen to sermons, but they don't worship. All these things are elements of worship, but they are not worshiping in and of themselves, which means that you can do all of these things and yet fail to worship God. Christians often mistake the means of worship for worship itself. They mistake the songs and the things that we do in worship service as worship. And you know what? God wants you to be able to worship individually. Now stop and think about this just for a second, okay? You know what it is to play tug of war. You also know what it would be like to walk up there, grab that rope, and you're the only guy. And there's about 20 of the others. And they're big, strong people. You know what I'm saying? Arnold Schwarzenegger type people, you know. And you're over there all by yourself, you know. Isn't it exciting when other people start showing it and they start grabbing that rope and they begin to just pull on it with you? That's what God wants when we come together in corporate worship, but not at the expense of you alone having a worship experience with God that takes you places you would never go on your own. That's how powerful God wants us to be. I remember growing up, my dad always said, you know what? I love you. Didn't feel like it. Oh, I'm sorry. If love is discipline, I was extremely loved. I was loved to the 10th power. But, you know, he had this motto, you know, he kind of said, I put a roof over your head. I put a shirt on your back. I put food on your table. I love you. But you never felt like love. Because he just filled in the blanks of the things that a good dad should do in preparing for his kids. But what I yearned for all my life, and quite honestly, times I just desperately wish I'd have had it, was my Heavenly Father, who does it all the time. I wish my earthly dad would have just come in there and put his hand on my shoulder and said, I am so proud of you. Well, that would have melted me. I would have just fallen apart. I wouldn't know what. You know what else? I would have done anything. There was nothing that I wouldn't have done for my dad if he had done that. Because you know why? God gave me some spiritual dads. And boy, when that happened, I tell you what, it wasn't about blood. It was about a relationship. Our life of worship is a relationship with God. He's not up there going, songs, check. gave him the offering, check. There's none of that stuff. And God doesn't get up there and say, I gave you a church, I gave you a hymnal, I gave you a Bible. None of that. You understand, sometimes the greatest need in your life is this void where you wonder where God is, and God is saying, well, a lot of times I'm wondering where you are. To the mature Christian, I'm wondering where you are. Let me take you to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Man, this is powerful because God had instructed Abraham. Now, those of you who remember this story out of the Bible, you know, God had promised Abraham a son and Sarah a son. And they went a long time waiting for a son. Sarah was in her 90s. Abraham was much older. And man, they thought, hey, our day is over. And God gave him this incredible son named Isaac. He loved it with all of his heart. This was God's gift. This wasn't just a kid. This was God's gift. And God tells him one day, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, the son you love more than anything else in the world. I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him there. Now, what you and I don't know, it's just the story, but a sacrifice, I mean, a burnt sacrifice. You know what they did with burnt sacrifices back then? They would take a lamb or a sheep or whatever, they'd take it, and they would build an altar, and then they'd put wood on it, and they would kill this lamb or sheep, and they would lay it on the altar, and then it was consumed by fire and left to ashes. This is what God asked Abraham to do with the one and only son that he had, the son he loved more than anything else. You know what God? God told him that. You know what Abraham did? He obeyed. He obeyed. So let me tell you back to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. It says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I shall tell you. And then on the third day, he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said, the lad and I will go yonder and worship. So up on the mountain, what was happening? They were worshiping the Lord. Very different from what we feel is a worship service or worship experience. But let me just give you the elements of worship real quick so that you can begin to see them interjected into your life, so that you can begin to include them into part of your worship experience, okay? The first thing is it really needs God's direction. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want? What is your will? Worship is not based on our likes. It's based on what God likes. It's not based on what we want or our priorities. It's based on His priorities. Now, stop and ask yourself the question, who or what are you worshiping? Because whatever you are worshiping or whoever you're worshiping will determine the kind of person that you are. Now, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Hey, there's some people, man, you got a brand new car. You love that thing. You don't even let people look at it. You know, that's how protective of you are. And you don't think you're doing that, but you're worshiping this thing or this house you have or this job you have or this hobby you have or this possession you have. And, you know, you worship it. You really do. You don't really use those words, but you do. Well, whatever or whoever you're worshiping is the person you're going to become. Can I just tell you, if you worship our God, the Almighty God, the God of this Bible, you're going to be a lot more like God. And all the people are going to be drawn to God. I'm going to tell you what. You know who people are looking to show up in this midst of chaos that we're facing as a nation and globally in the world? They're waiting for God to show up. There's not a whole lot of them worshiping crystals and stuff like that, thinking that's going to be the cure. They think it's God. Hey, the second thing is there needs to be some preparation that we put into worship. Worship doesn't just happen. You know, it's got to be planned. You know what Abraham did? He got his servants together. He gathered the wood. He got, you know, the donkeys all saddled up. And he got Isaac and he said, hey, let's go. They prepared for worship. Most of you understand this, but you just don't go from the world to worship in just a matter of seconds. You don't go from the secular world out there to the sacred world of being in God's presence just in a matter of seconds. It takes some preparation. You have to work at it. Listen, some of you are going to get convicted when I say this. But some of us put a lot of preparation into our work. We put a lot of preparation into our play. I mean, man, if you're going fishing, you get out there, the boat's ready to go. You got all of that with your fishing rods and reels. If you're going hunting, you got your gun out. You got it all mapped out. You tell everybody, we're leaving at 5. If you're not here, you're staying home. Boom. You're prepared. You're ready to go. The truck's gassed up. Yeah. We do all kinds of stuff like that. But how much do we prepare to worship? Because a lot of times we think worship is just supposed to happen. We come to church service like this, and it's just supposed to happen. I hope they pray, they sing the right song. I hope the atmosphere is exactly what it ought to be, because I need to be ushered into. I need to be pulled into. I hope worship happens, and it sucks me in. No, you're the one that needs to prepare for that. You know what I did last night? And please, if I didn't do a good job of it, I don't want to know. But I laid out my shoes, I laid out my pants, I laid out my socks and some other things that I wear, and my belt and my shirt and my jacket, you know. I'm telling you, on Sunday nights, I got this little mirror that I use right over here, and here's the hair dryer. I only use it for about 3 seconds, but hair dryer right there, hairspray. Hey, I got my toothbrush, It's all laid out. I'm ready to go. We need to prepare to worship like that. Because worship doesn't happen because we're unprepared. Worship happens because we are prepared. And listen, we may prepare to go to church, but that's not the same thing as preparing for worship. And here's a toughie. We need to eliminate the distractions from worship. We need to eliminate the things that rob us from worship. Listen, worship is not a multitasking activity. You can't worship while you got a million different things going on. Remember that story out of Luke, the 10th chapter? There's Martha and Mary. We throw Martha under the bus all the time, don't we? I'm going to have to apologize for her to her when I get to heaven. Remember, Martha's in the kitchen, and she's making sure all of the silverware is clean and the right dishes are out there, and she's putting something together for the disciples and Jesus to eat, and Mary's just over there at the foot of Jesus going, oh, this is so awesome. That's the way Martha thought. You need to get in here and help me a little bit. Matter of fact, she recruited a little help. Jesus, tell her to get in here. And Jesus said, hey, Martha, I'm telling you, buddy, she's worshiping me, and she's doing the right thing, and it's not going to be taken from her. Well, listen, Martha wasn't a bad person. She had some ideas, too. She was planning, but she wasn't planning for the right thing. She was distracted by the things that she thought went into worship. But there's so many things that can drag us away and separate us from our worship experience. And listen, not just sinful things. Some of us can be so goal-oriented, we want to accomplish something, that there's no way we would stop in the middle of what we're doing because God just preempted our hearts and tugged on our hearts and said, I want you to just worship me. Wow, pretty tough. But it takes a little bit of a disciplined mind and understanding that God does want us to do that. Because the elements that distract us are the very things that we're drawn to a lot more than our God. In the late 1800s, there was this guy named Henry Beecham. He was over in England, tremendous pastor, great preacher. And one Sunday, he couldn't preach. And as his brother, who was asked to preach for him, steps to the pulpit, people started getting up and leaving. And his brother said this, those of you who have come to worship Henry Beecham this morning may leave. But those of you who have come to worship the living God, I invite you to stay seated. How cool is that? It's easy to get, hey, there's nothing wrong to get caught up with somebody and something, but not at the expense of our worship to our Almighty God. We don't worship. We worship the God who said, I love you so much that I'm going to send my son to die in your stead. And when Jesus left, he was so kind enough to say, I'm leaving, but I will send the Comforter to be with you. Wow. What a powerful worship, picture of worship. Hey, another thing that is involved in worship is sacrifice. I don't like that word, do you? I don't like sacrifice. It sounds like something's being taken away from me. But that's not what God doesn't pull things away from you so that you will be all by yourself and just him alone and everything's been eliminated. No. He said, in the context of what I'm talking about today is that every time I say yes to worship, I'm saying no to all these other things. But most of us, like I said, we multitask and we think we can say yes to worship and yes to fishing and yes to our favorite TV show and yes to Facebook and yes to more Facebook. I need to stop right there, don't I? And all these different things that are distractions, and we think we can do, but God says, you know what? I need you to say yes to me because I have said yes to you. Listen, I don't know how God does it, but that's why we call him Almighty God, that he can be paying full, complete attention to you and giving me full and complete attention to me. I don't know how he does that. That's because he's Almighty God. I'm not Almighty God. I can't be on Facebook and be worshiping the Lord. I can be inspired by some of the things on Facebook, but I can't do it. I can't be talking to you and be worshiping the Lord in the way that I really need to. You understand where we're coming. It's a sacrifice, and it's not something taken away from me. Here's the problem. True worship always requires us to give up our best for God's best. What did God ask Abraham for? A couple of sheep, ram, donkeys, servants? No. He said, I want you to take Isaac, your very best. And why was it his very best? Because God said, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart, and I'm going to give you what you desire, and that is a son. God gave him that son, and he asked for it back. And because Abraham gave God his very best, God now gave his best back to Abraham. And that's why he received Abraham back. Abraham was not killed on that moment. Do you remember? If you read the story, Abraham takes Isaac. Isaac is laid on the wood. The Bible doesn't say that Isaac was arguing or fighting. He whatever. And you know what? He had seen his dad make a couple of burnt offerings before. He knew that the sacrifice was going to be killed. It was going to be put to death. And he's laying there. This is the picture I see. He's laying there, wondering and trusting his God, but trusting his father. And as the knife came up, God stopped him. And he said, Abraham, because you have not withheld your one and only son, I'm going to bless you like you've never, ever imagined. Your descendants are going to be far beyond the sands of the beach. Amazing how that goes. And another thing that, maybe this is a little unexpected thing, but there's restoration that's involved in worship. Now, the reason I bring that in is the very story I just told. Here is Abraham, and in his mind, he was going to lose his son, but he got him back. So let me ask you, what do you need restored in your life? Is there the hope that's lost you? Is it your strength? Is it your energy? Is it the spiritual energy that you used to have? Is it that close relationship with God? Is it the peace that you're desperately looking for? Listen, I tell you, read the books you want to, listen to the sermons you want to, but get alone with God, and that's where you're going to find these things, where you worship God, and he's going to restore things. Listen, there's some things that you wish were a little bit different, and you wish you could have them back. Listen, God's not going to take me back to when I'm 20 years old, but God can restore within me a spirit that has never grown old. God can restore in me a desire to be with him that will never, ever be gauged by age or time or space or distance. It'll always be because I'm with the Lord God, my Savior. And it can be restored. Let me tell you, this is powerful, and you need to understand that. We can sing your favorite song. You can have an emotional experience, but true worship will last far beyond when the music stops and the emotion fades. That is powerful. And you know what it's called? It's called worship. It's called worship. You know what you had to do for that? All you had to do is prepare, get yourself in the place, look forward to it, condition your heart, you know, and God does the rest. A lot of times I understand that in worship settings or maybe even in prayer settings, we try to put a lot of energy and maybe some position into it, and those are important. But listen, God doesn't need us to prime the pump. All God needs us to do is to participate. He just wants us to show up and worship it. He has powerful things. The last thing is this. I use the word confirmation because God confirmed with Abraham a promise that he had given him, a covenant that he had given him. He said, man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do some incredible things. And God declared that he would bless Abraham. You know why? Because he worshiped him. And you know why he declared that? He's because Abraham did not hold anything back. Listen, I understand when you're in a crowd, you're always wondering, is it me? Does God want me to leave? Does God want me to step out first? You know, when there's an altar situation or something like that happens, you know, we're wondering. And we just wish that somebody would break the ice so they'd give us permission. And listen, some of us, our personalities just aren't bent that way. But God doesn't want you to hold back because God is going to confirm in you things that he's never, ever allowed you to experience outside of his experience with you. Here's the principle. The principle is simply this. Worship results in God blessing the worshiper. Worship results. What are you going to get out of results, Pastor Dave? What's the end goal in this? That God is always going to bless the worshiper. He's going to bless the worshiper. I pray that we will all become extremely involved in being an agent of worship. Let me read a quote from Pastor Stephen Dow. He said, "Worship is primary. The invitation from God to worship is fundamental. He is worthy of our worship, and he longingly seeks people who are committed to worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we fail to worship, our hearts will become hardened to even the most fundamental of all God's truth. Someone has said that there are two times to praise and worship God, and that is when you feel like it and when you don't." How's that? He goes on to say, worship is to be persistent. Every day is today with God. We can put off God's invitation, but when we do, it is to our own peril. Instead of waiting until another time, do it today, do it now, or it may be too late. Pastor John, I'm going to ask you and the worship team to come back up. I want you to be real, real careful, or listen to exactly what I'm going to say in just a second. Many times we create the opportunity for worship through music, but God forbid it be the only means that we receive it or express it. Worship is just God saying, you know what? When my people get to praise and worship, whether it's through a song or whether it's just through a personal commitment, I always show up. God's never late. He is always on time. After Abraham had this incredible experience in worship on the mountaintop, you know what he did? You know what he did? He left. He left. Do you remember that story in the New Testament? Some powerful things happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were up there with Jesus. And man, these guys from the Old Testament showed up, and God said some really cool things. You know what they want to do? Peter said, let's build three shrines or three little houses right here so we can just stay here forever. And Jesus said, we weren't meant to stay here forever. You see, when God uses you in worship, he does some powerful things to you so that you can go out and be an influence to the world. God does things like that so that when the world caves in and the words of like a thing called coronavirus shows up and nobody knows what to do and they're all freaked out and they're spending all their loose time on the TV and the Facebook, you show up and all of a sudden there's this peace and this calm that can only be from God. Listen, true worship, the true test of worship is not what takes place in the sanctuary on Sunday. The true test of worship is what happens when we worship as we walk out those doors. Don't you love that? Don't you love it? I mean, hey, you know, we love what happens in church. But you know what? Try it honestly. God didn't build you to stay here and to live here. When it comes to noon, you don't know what to do. Is he going to shut up? I'm ready to go. I mean, you know, that's the worship experience of a Sunday morning. You wouldn't know what to do if we said, we're going to stay here all day long. You would have a few opinions of your pastor if you did that. But in worship, it goes with you. It's everywhere we are, everywhere we go. It's something that we do. That's the true test of worship. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We sang this song just a few minutes ago. And like I said, be real careful that you don't use this song or the music as an opportunity to prime the pump to create something because of the music. But instead, I'm going to ask you to allow the Lord to be so gracious to you in the next few moments that you will use that as the primer for another moment and another time, not associated with here, but just associated with the one thing that we have in common between this worship setting and the one you will go to. And that is God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. That is the one common denominator between the two settings. And listen, as we worship, and some of you got some things you're dealing with. I mean, some of you came in here today and you said, Pastor, the truth of the matter is, I got some things that I don't think please the Lord. You know, whether they're just disobedience or whether it's sin, or whether it's just an attitude, whether it's a feeling, maybe your heart has been broken, maybe there's a real need in your life. Listen, we're at the end of this. We're going to open this altar for anyone who needs prayer. And come up, we got the oil right here. We'll anoint you, we'll bless you, we'll touch you. But you know, this is a time where you open your heart to God. But listen, don't wait on him. Go to him. whatever your need is, just give it to him. Some of you, you know, this hand-raising thing is a little foreign to you. Maybe you want to just kind of exercise a little bit of what that's like, because you're not going to be alone. And some of us, we have to just close our eyes, because this is how we hook up with God. Whatever. This isn't about you imitating me or me imitating you. This isn't about you having to be like somebody else. This is about you being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where the results and the blessing of your worship is in him. Father, I pray that you give us some powerful moments in the next few moments. I pray, God, that you would do some things that we didn't even anticipate. Father, in the midst of all the news, in the midst of all the personal turmoil, in the midst of all the things that are going on in our life, I pray to connect with you, and in such a way that I've never connected before. I pray, Father, that you will right now bless me, help me, instruct me, draw me to worship you in the name of Jesus Christ.